tells us we should be marchi gaiva and kas, right? And it should be goyer in the yitzhar hara, right? So exactly how you marchi gaiva and kas. So we said, like, you know, the best way to get marchi gaiva and kas is you sort of like put it out of your thought process. This is shmir, but I mean that's like it's probably the second step. And the first stage is the person has to contemplate the concept of gaiva and kas and say why it's not intelligent, why it's ridiculous, why it doesn't make any sense, and then you can be marchi gaiva and kas. The guy says, why should we marchi gaiva and kas? I deserve it, you know, the taka chutzpah that the guy did. So it's very hard to be marchi gaiva and kas if you feel that it's something which is that the, you are deserving of that recognition or of that. That's it. The emotion is appropriate. So again, we spoke about before that the kas usually is rooted in the fact that there's expectations. I deserve X, and I don't get X. I get upset. If I decide, if I would be able to decide before, and why should I get X? Then I wouldn't be upset. Of course, the problem is I believe that I do deserve X. So-and-so owes me something, or I deserve that amount of respect. So the healthiest way of dealing with it is by recognizing that when it happens, it's not indicative of myself. Usually, the reason why we have these emotions, right? It's the principle of the matter. He's such a mechutzif. That means it bothers me, right? That's what, right? The definition. It's the principle of the matter means I'm upset that that the chutzpah did it to me. And there's no principles, because if we principles, you know. I think it's very important that people should daven shenasu with kavana, and I'm very principled about that, and I don't get upset about it. I just don't. Or when he insults you, I don't get upset about it either, right? Like, it's the principle of the matter. Terrence says this is not the principle of the matter. It bothers me. If I recognize that, Betzim, he cannot do anything to me. I am what I am, and I have that strength, and I have that the self-confidence and the self-esteem that I don't need you to define whether I'm good or bad. So it doesn't bother me. There's a beautiful piece from the Chavis Lavomis brings that he was once talking to a chassid. He says, he asked the chassid, what was the happiest day of your life? So, you know, we all have different definitions of our happiest day of our lives, right? So here's his happiest day of his life. So he was traveling once on a boat, and he was sleeping down in the hold. And one of the rich people who was on the boat came down, saw him there, and decided to relieve himself, his bodily needs, on top of this person to show how much he did not respect this person. So it didn't bother me, he was there. That was the happiest day of my life. That I was able to react to it with total equanimity, like, you know, it's his problem, not mine. Right? So I reached the point where I did not define myself at all by how human beings define me. I define myself by Kodesh Baruch. That was the happiest day of my life. That's what he says. So Shimon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that's Madrega, which we're like way beyond. But you hear is the beauty of what he's saying. The person was so confident and so secure in his relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Rosh Hashanah created him. He's a Tzelem Elokim. The Rosh Hashanah cares about him. The Rosh Hashanah loves him. The Rosh Hashanah is there for him. That if you don't like me, that's your problem. If you like me, very nice. If you don't like me, also very nice. Like, you know, you had stories, you know, had people who went through the tremendous nisyonos. Right? You know how they do it. They did it because they had this awareness. You have to picture. There's a book called Go, My Son. Some of you might have read it. Anybody read it? Yeah. So he has a story with it, which, you know, if you're here for the Motzei Yom Kippur Suda, right? You know, there's one quote from the book, right? Raron sings a Yiddish Nigun, which is mentioned in the book. Where's it mentioned in the book? It's mentioned in the book over there that he came to one of these Soviet camps in some, you know, far away, far flung, ridiculous place. And he hears a Yid singing a Yiddish song. He looks around, doesn't see anybody. He looks behind the bushes and he sees this person with, like, hair down to who knows what. And the guy looked like he was, like, you know, a Gantz of Meshugana, right? Shabbos afternoon it was. And he was singing this, you know, the Mamahat Mirgashik, Nisalat Sakleiben, right? So I think it has the whole all of the words in the book. Right? So he starts talking to the fellow. First, the fellow thinks he's, you know, whatever. Eventually, he's able to, you know, convince him that he's a Shiva Bacher. But this fellow's been under the in this camp for 10 years. He has been Mechallel Shabbos once because he made himself into a Meshuggah. And the Russians have a superstitious fear of Meshuggahs, but also meant that nobody speaks to him. So he hasn't spoken to a human being for 10 years. Right, so he made himself look like he grew long hair and he grew beard and he looked, you know, unkempt. And he said strange things once in a while. And everybody just stayed away from him and bothered him. And he kept Shabbos and he was able to do whatever he needed. Mentioned so Chaim Shapiro in the book mentioned that he had, you know, they're talking, he mentions that he says he doesn't have tefillin. He says, I have tefillin. He says, I've been about 10 years of my life, the first time I had tefillin, Shabbos. He says, tell me where you are. He says, it's going to kill you if it comes. It doesn't make a difference. I'll be there tomorrow. Next day he's there, 4 o'clock in the morning, the guy went out of that camp to where Chaim Shapiro was, another camp. How he did it doesn't make a difference. He wouldn't talk about it, but he made it happen. How did he live for 10 years? How did he live for 10 years? He lived, but you know, that he created a world inside of himself. So that world inside of himself, we're not, Baruch Hashem, we're not being challenged with such a, you know, tremendous nisyanus. But that means that the guy next to you, doesn't necessarily have the proper respect to you, doesn't have the proper, you know, recognition of you. Okay? You know, it shouldn't be this tremendous, you know, calamity that I have to deal with. Now, peer pressure is a tremendously powerful thing. Peer pressure is, you know, especially when a person's younger, how his peers, his or her peers perceive them is very significant to them. And that's a person, part of the process of the younger years is to learn to develop this sense of self and the sense of worth that I could take somebody else not liking me and it's not going to throw me. I guess that would be the madriga that we're looking for. It's not going to throw me. So I'm not going to respond with kas. So gaiva is a funny thing. Right? Gaiva is a funny thing. How to deal with gaiva? So I mentioned on Shabbos that gaiva is a positive thing. Gaiva is a very positive. The person has to have a very positive self outlook. The Ben Yehuda says if you don't have that, you can't start your avodas Hashem without that awareness of where of who you are and what your milas are. And the Chabad Lubavitcher says a person that has the hachmoah, the lowliness of just because I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing, and who cares? Says. That's the hachno of a behema, not of a yid. So the goal of hachno, the true hachno, is that the person really should be aware of his milas. At the same time, so how do you do it? Moshe Rabbeinu is the enemy called Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu also was able to stand up against 600,000 people, you know, and tell them, you know, we're going to, it was 600,000 to one. You got to be pretty confident to be able to do that. Rabbi Chanan writes, you know, the Chabad Chaim is known to be a tremendous honor. Rabbi Chanan was a Talmud of Chabad Chaim. This says, somebody asked the Chabad Chaim, asked Rabbi Chanan, was the Chabad Chaim aware of who he was? Like, you know, Chabad Chaim was, you know, the Gadol HaDor, you know, but, nobody, you know. He says, I heard Chabad Chaim many times that he says, I'm responsible for the whole generation. He knew who he was. He's still an honor. Right? So Anivus is not a steer to know what you are and who you are. Anivus is the ability to understand that, so therefore what? So I'm in a situation, but therefore you owe me something, therefore I deserve recognition for you. I'm focused vis-a-vis what my responsibilities are, what my job is, what my role is. The Russian was mazaka me to be in that situation. Beautiful. So I owe Kodesh Baruch a tremendous debt of gratitude, and that's about it. What else? I tell you over the word from the Rizal Tauber. I think the machshava is such a powerful machshava. It's also a very telling machshava because to think of the vort, you have to be living like that. He says like this: Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu at the end of his life and he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. Veschanan al Hashem, he davens 515 tefillas. Communion, kikimatria of the word veschanan. 515 tefillas going to Eretz Yisrael. Matnas chinam, Rashi says. Right? Matnas chinam. So what's matnas chinam? Matnas chinam means like this. Partially like this. You know, Jews are very cheap, right? Jews, like, you know, right? Jews. So Moshe Rabbeinu could come to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, Rabbi, you know, I taught, you know, Gans Klai, so 3 million people, you know, Torah for 40 years, you know, let's make a deal. 40 years of teaching Torah, Eretz Yisrael. No, no, no. I'd rather get it for free. Like, why should I ask for money if I get it for free? Right? That's chalam. What's the pshat? You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was cheap. There's a joke that why do Jews have big noses? Because air is free. You know, and like, you know what? Like what's pshat? He said, imagine it's 1938, and Yimach Shoy has publicized his plan, and the person chaps that he's serious. He also heard that he might be in the world to negotiate for money. The fellow's a multi billionaire, and he flies to Berlin and he meets with Yimach Shoy, and they make a deal, and he pays him out, you know, X amount of money, and he leaves all the Jews alone. Right, imagine that. Right, to do that, the person has to get rid of, has to sell every single thing that he owns to get the money. He has to take all of his money, all of his properties, everything. The fellow's left homeless, penniless, with his clothing on his back, and that's it. He has no money for food. He saved 6 million lives, and he has nothing. He owns nothing. He hasn't eaten for 2 days. He's starving. So he turns his eyes to Shemayim and says, "Bershalom, you know, like, you know, I don't deserve breakfast at least, you know, like, you know, after that." He says, "No, that's not what you daven. You daven like this. Bershalom. The schus to save one human life is like you saved the whole world. To save one Jew's life is mamash, you saved an olam molech. I saved 6 million lives. The opportunity that you gave me, the schus that you gave me, was so overwhelming that b'etzem I owe you so much that there's no way I can ever repay you the rest of my life. You gave me such a beautiful thing. So I owe you so much. So how can I have the chutzpah to even ask for more after such an opportunity that you gave me? But the mice say, you know, I'm hungry and you're such a rachman. Maybe I can have breakfast also." That's how you say the tefillah. That's Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Bershalom, you gave me such a chesed. I was a person who brought twice out of Mitzrayim. I bet some I owe you so much. How can I have a chutz v'nes for anything more? And I gave Torah to Klai Yisrael, and I gave him the mom. What I say? I owe you so much. How can I even have the dream, the chutzpah? You know what? You're such a rachamon. Manas kinim, you know, you give everybody manas. Maybe you could also do me a favor and also. That's how Moshe Rabbeinu looked at it. So of course he's going to be called out. Look what he accomplished. The attitude is look at what the chesed the person did with him to allow him to accomplish that. So he was overwhelmed. Like how small he was compared to the opportunities that he was able to do. So the more he accomplished, the bigger honor he was. That's the correct way of understanding it.